Good morning, church. Somebody tell Betty we're starting. She got busted. Welcome. Glad you're here. Are you ready to worship this morning?
Amen.
We're worshiping our risen King.
Yes.
That loves us. Yes?
Yes?
So welcome to our service. Welcome our live stream worshipers. Let's invite the Holy Spirit. Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. We praise your holy name. You are the King of kings. You're the Lord of lords. You're the Alpha, the Omega. You're the God of all comfort, the Prince of Peace, and you're our friend. Would you send your Holy Spirit into this place today? We lift high the name above every name, Jesus. It's in that name we pray. Amen. If you'll rise if you're able, let's worship.
Babe on bed.
Around 700 BC, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Around 700 years later, Jesus Christ fulfilled that prophecy. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." The fourth candle of Advent is a candle of love. Today we light this candle to remind us of God's great love demonstrated once and for all through Jesus Christ. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Stars are brightly shining. It is seated. If the children would come forward.
Is your favorite animal? Good. Good morning. How are y'all this morning? Everybody good? Where's your brother? Oh, there he is. All right. All right. Well, good. Well, how is everybody this morning?
Good.
Well, are you? The elves were climbing the Christmas trees. Okay. All right. So guess what we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about Christmas, right? So are you counting down the days till Christmas?
Yes.
So how many days until Christmas?
Four.
Okay. I miscounted. I said it was five this morning in the early service. I said it was five. Well, we're going to count Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday as Christmas. So it's 4 days. Okay. All right. So everybody ready for Christmas? You're going to do lots of fun things with family and friends and everything? Yeah? Logan, go this direction. Logan, right there. All right. Okay. So on Christmas morning, when you wake up, what's the first thing that you do? You look for your elf and you do what? You go look for presents, right? Are they under the tree?
Yeah.
Do you have presents under your trees now? Under your tree now?
No?
Okay, yeah. But do you have more presents on Christmas morning? You wake up and there's all kinds of presents under the tree? Yes, that's right. And they are all wrapped in beautiful wrappings with paper. No, you can't open my present. I know. So they're all wrapped with pretty paper and bows possibly, right? I'm not going to tell you, okay? Could be. Okay. All right. So anyway, but aren't the packages all pretty and you're excited to see what's in there, right? Are you excited to see what's in your packages?
Yes.
Do you know what's in your packages?
No.
Can you guess? My granddaughter was shaking hers the other day trying to figure out what it was, but she couldn't figure it out. She kind of guessed, but she didn't get the right guess. Okay. So as you look at your tree, you see all these beautiful packages, and then you look around, and then there's a package like this. Well, it's not a very good package, is it?
Yeah,
it's just kind of a ordinary package wrapped in brown paper, right? Yeah. Would you want to open this gift? It had your name on there. Would you want to open this gift?
Yes.
Because you never know what's in the gift, right? But if you had your choice of which gift to open, which one would you open first? This one? You would? You would open this one first?
Yes.
But you don't know what's in this one either, right? But you would want to open this one because it's all pretty and everything, right?
Yeah.
But we don't know what's in this ordinary, plain, brown package, right? Well, I want to talk about something very ordinary and plain, okay? And simple, okay? Did you know that God gave us a gift? Did you know that? He gave us Jesus. That's right. He did give us. That's right. He gave us Jesus. That's right. But do we get busy at Christmas and sometimes miss Jesus? Yeah, because guess what? Jesus might be just wrapped in ordinary paper, right? Because he loves us, right? So much, right? You know, because when Jesus came, he didn't come in a fancy, he didn't come with fancy things around him. He didn't come in a beautiful place. He came to the stable. He was born in a stable with all the animals. Could you imagine if you were there, what animals would you see in the stable?
Donkeys,
camels, cows, pigs, horses, chickens, ducks. Dogs, who knows what you would see?
Doves.
Cats?
Doves.
Yes, doves.
Angels.
You would see animals in the stable.
Angels?
Do you think it would smell very good?
No,
it would not smell very good, right? But that's what God did. God sent Jesus to be born in that stable. And Jesus was laid. He slept in a manger. And do you know what a manger is?
Yes.
What is it?
It's like a little bed.
Well, it's not really a bed, actually.
Oh, it's a cow feeder.
It's what you feed. That's what the cows eat from. Can you imagine laying in that, in the straw? And they wrapped baby Jesus in swaddling clothes. And swaddling clothes is just really soft clothes. And they wrapped him up and they laid him in a manger. Is that a beautifully wrapped package? No, because a manger is something the animals ate out of, right? But is Jesus the greatest gift we can get? Yes, it is. So Jesus was wrapped in an ordinary paper because he came for us. And are we ordinary people? Yeah, we just do ordinary things. We get up and go to school. We obey our parents. We do all of those things. But God sent his son, Jesus, the greatest gift of all for each one of us. And Jesus offers us his love, his forgiveness, and eternal life. Are those the greatest gifts that we can get?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And it's great to get these fun gifts, right? But our greatest gift is Jesus. And it says in Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a son is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Jesus is the greatest gift. So as you celebrate this week, don't miss Jesus as you have all the fun and the bright packages. Don't miss Jesus, because Jesus is our greatest gift. Can y'all do that? Amen. All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus as our greatest gift. And help us as we celebrate Christmas and the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead, Lord, that we will not miss your great love for us, because you sent your son Jesus and you had a plan for Jesus for him to go to the cross to pay for our sins, Lord. And we thank you for that great gift, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Can you grab a gift?
Family, hello. Thank you, Arliss. Good morning. Good to say I was kind of weak. Good morning. Much better. Good to have you here. Good to have you worshiping with us online. Encourage you to go and check into the service that you are attending. Our Christmas Eve service this Wednesday night, 5:30, usually lasts about an hour. And we worship together. We'll have a time of remembrance where we celebrate the lives of those who have going to be with the Lord. We'll celebrate Holy Communion together. There'll be a children's time and a candlelighting time. So bring your family and friends. That's always a great opportunity to be together. And for the next two Sundays, we're going to have a late service only. No early service, no Sunday school. So 1:10:45 service for the next two Sundays. And next Sunday, the Garza family, Larry and Marcy, are bringing tamales. Well, there's some excitement about that. Maybe we ought to do that every Sunday. You know, people get excited about coming to church. But you know, Larry and Marcy are so awesome. They love to bless our church family with that gift. So that'll be next Sunday, and then on the 4th, again, one service, no Sunday school, no early service, no tamales. But we will have, unless Marcy and Larry want to do that. Marcy? She didn't commit, so. And then we'll be back to our regular schedule on the 11th of January. There's an insert in your bulletin about a young adult Sunday school class that will start that Sunday, led by Brad and Ann Paris. And the insert says it's primarily for young adults just beginning their adult journey in life, and we're not trying to put an age range on this, and I like to tell people, if you consider yourself a young adult, then come check it out. And if you want to register for that, there's a QR code you can scan. We'll need a pretty good idea of how many are coming, so we'll know what size classroom space to put them in. And then on the 14th of January, our Wednesday night start back. Community groups, our adult and children's, I'm sorry, our youth and children's ministries, and also Larry Young will be leading a prayer class that night. There will be an insert in the bulletin starting next week and opportunities to sign up for that as well. And also our church office is closed through the 5th of January, and we're back in full swing on the 6th. Men's and women's Bible studies will resume on that Tuesday. Right, Joyce? Okay. All right, if you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Our pastor has a brief announcement he would like to make, so Jeff, come on up.
So some of y'all who are thinking about coming to the young adult Sunday school class, I'll be at the door checking IDs. There's a few of y'all that I know are not going to be able to make it. I'm just kidding. So you've probably heard that we have been in a capital fund drive this year. Yes, have you heard that? And we had a family that gave an awesome gift of a $500,000 match. Open your bulletin. Look at your bulletin. There's a thermometer in there that we've been reporting the progress on that along the way. And if you can see there, we're showing a $35,000 shortage to make that match. Here's the deal. That bulletin was printed on Wednesday, and I am blessed to say the match has been met. You know, first of all, we want to acknowledge just the goodness of God to give us those kind of blessings, and I also want to thank you for your faithfulness as you support this project. You know, the building that we expand the building, it's not about creating something that we can brag about or look good to the community or any of those kinds of things. It's about having seats for people that come that want to be presented with the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we'll have room for that. I know this, I'm maybe bragging a little bit, but I just think you guys are an exceptional church. And when people visit here, I've been told this, and if you are visiting with us, I hope you feel this, that you get the love of Christ when you come in this place, and you get the Holy Spirit, and that is a gift, and we have the ability now to share that with more people. So thank you for your faithfulness. I will remind you the job is not done. We still have money to raise to make this a reality, but thank you so much for your faithfulness in meeting that match. Thank you.
Amen. Hey, let's give the Lord a big shout of praise. Can we do that? Amen. Amen. Yeah, he is so kind and so gracious and so faithful. This morning, as I pray, I just want to thank him for that goodness in so many ways, not just that financial goodness, but the peace that he provides, the joy that he provides. Just so good just to step in whatever our needs are. He's there to meet those needs. We just need to reach out to him. And the Advent focus this morning is on love, so I just want to thank the Lord for his love that will grow in that area individually as we relate to the Father and as we relate to one another. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, God, for your incredible generosity, your incredible faithfulness. And Lord, you, God, you own it all. This is your creation. You can do anything with it that you want. Father, we're your creation. God, if you want to give us breath in our lungs, you give us breath in our lungs. If you desire to take that away for whatever reason, God, you have that right because we are your creation. And so, Lord, I just thank you for your faithfulness over this last year. And, Father, we look forward to the future, what you're going to do. And as our pastor said, it's not about a big, shiny sanctuary sitting out here in our green space. It's about people that need to know Jesus, that you're good. That you come to set us free. And so we praise you for what you're up to. Father, surprise us as we move forward. And thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for your love. A love so deep, a love so extravagant that you allowed your own son to give his life so that we could have life. Father, I just thank you for the love that we have because you first loved us. So I pray that you help us to grow in love. Our love for you, first of all, and then our love for others. Help us to see people through your eyes, through your lens. Help us to love more. Help us to love in a way that people are drawn and attracted to the Son. And Father, as we gather this week around family tables, around a tree and exchange gifts, I pray, God, just for the love of Christ, just to overwhelm that atmosphere. I pray for his peace to rest there. And God, if there's any things that need to be reconciled in families this Christmas season, God, I just pray that you break in and this be a Christmas of reconciliation. Some families. Oh, Father, we love you. Again, thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness. Thank you for the Son. Thank you for this season. We can celebrate his birth. And we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you again, church, for your financial faithfulness. The giving options are electronic options are on the screen, offering boxes by the doors. If you need prayer before you leave this building, please take advantage of that. We'll have people available for prayer after the service. I'm available. Our pastor's available. or you can grab someone you trust. And let's do business with the Lord as we continue to worship and as we continue to seek him through the rest of this service.
Jesus, keep me from all wrong. price you pay. When something says I'm not worthy, I'll point to that empty grave. Just like Lazarus, oh, you brought me back to life. No longer I who live, but Christ in me, for I've been born again. My heart is free, the hope of heaven before me, the grave behind. Hallelujah, you brought me back. You've done for me, Jesus, to fully praise you. It will take all eternity, just like Lazarus. Oh, you brought me back to life. No longer I who live, but Christ in me, for but Jesus said, you are mine. The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, you are mine. The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, you are mine. The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, you are mine.
Well, good morning again, church. Glad that you're here worshiping with us. Does anybody feel the Holy Spirit this morning? He is here with us. If you are our guest, we're especially glad you're here. Hope you feel that Holy Spirit. Hope you feel the love of God's people, the love of Christ embracing you. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but would love for you to, and I'll be at this end of the foyer and would love to meet you at the end of the service. Have a free gift for our guests. Would love to meet you. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. I love me some John. You know, all the Gospels are awesome and rich. I like John, but it's probably my favorite Gospel because it's so personal. John refers to himself, this is John the Apostle, John refers to himself later in the Gospel as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I've talked about this before, that's not an arrogant statement like he loves me and he doesn't love you, but John understood that Jesus loved him. And he also understands that Jesus loves us. So John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now this is, we'll talk a bit more in a second, but this is the Greek word logos, word meaning Jesus. So anytime you see it's a capital W, anytime you, that we read the Word, we're talking about Jesus. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He's referring to John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Speaking of the Jewish people that rejected him there. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, is he talking to you? If you believe in him, if you believe, if you've received him, believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Raise your hand if you're a children of God, if you're a child of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a human's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. We trust that you're here because you promised, where two or three are gathered in your name, that you would be there. And we've invited you, so we know you're here. So, Holy Spirit, nobody wants to hear from me. We want to hear from you. Would you teach us this day? Speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been in this Advent sermon series called Overcomers, and conclude that today. Today's message is overcoming death. Death. Death is the ultimate consequence that we all face. Did you know that, first of all, physically, none of us are getting out of this life alive? But also, listen to this, Romans 6 says it this way, the wages or the punishment of sin is death. So the first thing we need to understand is this word sin, it's not just when we consciously make a decision to disobey God. That certainly is sin, but it's also a condition. Or is this on? It's a condition that we come from the womb with this condition on us. It's part of our DNA. It's who we are. We have this condition of sin, and God's Word says that the punishment for that sin is death. It separates us from God. It must be dealt with, in other words. So death must be dealt with. So I was actually watched, I've read about this in the past, but I actually watched a documentary on this this past week. In World War I, there was, they had what they called trench warfare. Most of, if you, any of you are history buffs, you know what I'm talking about. And it was primarily on the Western Front, where in Europe, where they were fighting, and the two sides dug these trenches a few hundred yards away from each other, and they, most of the war for several years was conducted in these trenches. And there was hardly any movement for, I think, around 4 or 5 years. As the war went on, they would do all sorts of things to try to kill people in these trenches. They'd launch grenades and different things, bombs and different things. And back in those days, they used chemical weapons. It was an awful thing. And every once in a while, they would charge out of the trenches and try to move the other army back. It was very bloody, very, very awful trench warfare. Well, here's the deal. In 1914, the death stopped for one day. Did you know that? You remember what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Christmas Eve, 1914, these people, these two armies that had been trying to kill each other, the German army, some of them, it's documented that the German army began to sing Christmas carols in German in their trenches. And the other army was hearing, and they were recognizing the tunes, while they didn't understand the words, they began to sing along with them, those same Christmas carols in their language. It was an amazing thing. And then someone got, it was a brave thing, to begin to stick your head up above the trench and not have it shot at. And then someone brave enough came out of the trench, and before you knew it, both armies came out of the trenches singing Christmas carols and celebrated Christmas together. Isn't that amazing? Death had a reprieve. They exchanged gifts. They told stories. They did all sorts of things together, just like one big happy family. And the next day when Christmas came, after a few hours, they all went back to their trenches and began the killing again. Death had a reprieve. But guess what? Spiritually, for us as Christians, death doesn't just have a reprieve. It is taken care of. Death is overcome by Jesus. So I was talking about John being my favorite gospel, each one of the gospels have a kind of a different perspective that they're telling the story of Jesus. Matthew and Luke, they begin their gospels by focusing on Jesus's birth. It's where we get a lot of the information we have about his birth. Mark begins by focusing on the beginning of Jesus's ministry, when he became an adult and he launched his ministry. John, however, he begins, as we just read, he begins by focusing on the gift that Jesus offers of life. So, overcoming death. I want us to dive in a little deeper to this scripture today and see what hope we have to overcome death itself. First of all, to overcome death, we must understand that Jesus is God. I preached on this a few months ago. Jesus wasn't just a man. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't just a good guy. Jesus is God. We see it here. In the beginning, we don't fully understand the Trinity. Our finite minds cannot fully grasp that. But we do understand through faith and through our own experience and through God's Word, we understand that God is the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. We understand each one of them has their own role, but they are God. In the beginning was the Word, Logos, Greek, meaning Jesus. And the Word was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and not only was He with God, but the Word, Jesus, was God. He was with God in the very beginning. Jesus Himself said, "I and the Father are one." So, I was telling the early service, and this came to me a few years ago. God is He is all-knowing. He is. There's nothing that he doesn't know and he can't do. But the one thing prior to that Christmas morning, the one thing God had never been is flesh, a man. He had never been a man until the Word, Jesus, became flesh, which leads me to my second point. Before I go there, if we don't understand and believe, number one, now this is going to sound kind of harsh, and I'm sorry, but I need you to hear this. If we don't understand that Jesus is God, then we still got some work to do, and the Holy Spirit's got some work to do in us. Because you'll see later, if Jesus is just a good man, he's not God, he doesn't have the capacity to save us from our sins. If we don't believe that Jesus is God, I would, and this is going to be pretty bold, I don't believe we're even quite a Christian. Because that's central to us understanding. The Christian life is not about just being a good person. The Christian life is understanding who God is, what he's done for us, and how much he loves us. If we don't understand that Jesus is God, we've still got work to do, and the Holy Spirit's still got work to do in us. Secondly, if Jesus, to overcome death, not only do we need to understand Jesus is God, but we need to understand that Jesus is God in the flesh. He became flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, the angel proclaimed this in Matthew. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. I'm not very, very smart, but I know that doesn't happen every day. The virgin, this is foretold, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not a prophet with us, not a good teacher with us, not a great guy with us, not someone we can follow in some of his teaching with us. God with us. If we don't understand that, church, we got work to do, because it's central to this whole message of overcoming death. Jesus is God in the flesh. I don't know about you, but that's a game changer. It was a game changer for me. I've said it many times, but up until around 30 years old, I thought the Christian life was just being a good person, going to church and trying to do the right thing and so on and so forth, serving and all that. And I didn't, first of all, I was not doing very, very well at that. And then when Christ became real to me and I understood who he was and how he felt about me, it's a game changer. God, Jesus is God. Jesus is God in the flesh. Thirdly, and this is where the rubber meets the road, church, stay with me. Jesus came to save us from death, and he's the only one who could. Kevin, is this on? He's the only one who could. We can't save ourselves. John Wesley couldn't save us. Martin Luther couldn't save us. Billy Graham can't save us. Your preacher can't save you. Being good can't save you. Jesus came to save us from death, and he's the only one who could. John says it very clearly in verse 4. In him, in this logos, Jesus, in him was life. And I don't know about you, church, but we need life. Jesus himself said it a couple of times, different ways that I've recorded here. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The thief, Jesus says again, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we have an enemy. We have an adversary. He wants to take us out. He wants death for us. But Jesus said, yes, he wants death, but guess what? I want life for you. I want not only life, but I want abundant life. Life to the full. And not only does he desire that for us, but he made sure that we had it. Some 700 plus years before Jesus became flesh, before the Word became flesh. Hear these words. He, they're foretelling Jesus, he was pierced for our transgressions. Are you listening? He was pierced for our transgressions. I was telling the early service that another Old Testament prophecy says that when the Messiah comes, not a bone will be broken. Well, Jesus is hanging on the cross. The way that the Romans accelerated death when the people they were executed on the cross, they would come along and they would break their legs because the person on the cross needed to put, to get air in their lungs while they're hanging on the cross. They needed to be able to push up to raise their diaphragm so that they could breathe. They could get air into their lungs. Breaking the legs kept that from happening. So they're coming along, they break the thieves' legs, and they come to Jesus, and one of them said, "This one's already dead." So they didn't break his legs, foretold in Scripture. And then they said, "Well, let's make sure. Thrust a spear in his side." Listen to this. He was pierced for our transgressions. 700 plus years before Jesus hung on a cross. He was pierced for our transgressions. And I love this, that one of the other things that the gospel writers are writing what they saw happen on the cross. And what did they say? When they pierced his side, blood and water poured out. What's that about? Well, they didn't know it, but medically now we know that through the trauma and the stress that Jesus had been under to that point, fluid had built up around his heart. And when they pierced his heart, guess what happened? Blood and water flowed out. The gospel writers are just writing what they saw. But they were confirming medically that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought you and I peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Church, Jesus came to save us from death, and he's the only one who could because he's God. God's the only one that has the power to overcome death. No matter how good we are, we can't ever reach that standard that God has, which is holiness. Perfection. We can never reach that. Only God could pay that price. Jesus again says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." I've said this, but Jesus so many times told the disciples, "We're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles. I'm going to be beaten and whipped and spat upon, and I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, I'm going to rise." And they didn't really understand it, but he tells them that over and over and over. And right after one of the times he tells them that, it says they're heading into Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And I've said it so many times, but it really just captures me. Why would Jesus, if that's Jerusalem, why would Jesus head that way knowing that's what awaits him? Why would he lead the way? Because he loves us. He knew that death needed to be dealt with, and he knew because he was God, that was the only way death could truly be paid, the debt that we owed. Death has been swallowed up in victory, Paul writes. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory over death. We've overcome death because God himself became flesh and paid the price that you and I owed. There's a Swiss theologian, Karl Barth. It's spelled Barth, and I've mispronounced it for years. In seminary, they taught it. It's Barth. It doesn't look like Barth, but it is. Karl Barth. He lived in the early 1900s, and he was considered one of the greatest Protestant theologians of the 20th century. His greatest theological achievement was his 13-volume composition, The Church Dogmatics. And it runs just this composition that he wrote, these 13 volumes, it has over 6 million words and 8,000 pages. One of the longest works of systematic theology ever written. And yet when Barth was asked to describe God, he used 4 simple words. The one who loves. The one who loves. If you don't get anything else out of this Advent season, out of this Christmas season, or out of this sermon, I want you to understand how precious you are to God, how much He loves you. And God's Word says, while we were yet sinners, don't you love that? He died for us. He didn't die for the best of us. He died for the worst of us. When we're at our absolute worst, He died for us, and He loves us. If you don't get anything else, get that. He's overcome death. For God so loved you and I that He gave Jesus so that we could have eternal life. I always put this in our Christmas Eve program. If you don't, you know, it's very possible to go to church your whole life and not understand what I just preached, not get that. It's very possible to go and to church every Sunday, to serve the Lord, to do all sorts of things that you think is for the Lord and not understand that He truly loves you. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. You can stand in a garage. That doesn't make you a car. God's Word tells us that we need to confess, acknowledge our sinfulness. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we need to believe that Jesus has saved you. Believe that in the Lord Jesus Christ it says, and you will be saved. Well, if we'll be saved, that means we're a people in need of being saved. Yes? If He came to save us, sounds to me like we have that need. And then finally, confess Him as your Lord. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. He loves you so desperately, so much so that He laid down His life for you and I. You know, the Passover lamb was that on Passover, they were supposed to take the one-year-old male lamb, the pure lamb, and take it to be sacrificed. And I can just picture those lambs fighting that. Yes? I mean, I'm sure that they didn't just go on the lead right up there to the offering table. But they probably fought that process. Jesus willingly went to the cross for you and I because He loves us. If you'll bow your heads with me. Lord, we can never repay that debt. All you want from us is our devotion. You just want us to love you back. So, Lord, would you convict us? Would you inspire us? Would you show us if we don't get that, if we don't get who you are and how you feel about us, would you show us that this morning? Holy Spirit, would you come and just wash over us? Show us how you feel about us. We confess our sin before you, and we believe that you are indeed God in the flesh, and we confess you as our Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to rise if you're able. The This altar over here is, if you would like someone to pray with you, you can come to this side if you want some time with the Lord by yourself. If you don't know that Jesus that loves you, if you don't know him personally, don't leave this place today without talking to me about that. Became flesh and made his dwelling among us because he loves you. He wanted you to overcome death through him. That's good news, church. Yeah. Let's go and tell someone. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.